said some of these days I'd do it so quick, you're gonna miss me.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Dresser. You're listening to The Michael Dresser Show. I know where we are. Susan Stamm with us. She's the author of 42 Rules of Employee Engagement. She cut her teeth on managing others in the most difficult work environments imaginable in the fast food industry. She developed her drive and her tenacity working as a highly successful outside sales rep on straight commission with a phone book as her only lead source. Susan, I love that. Welcome to the show. Hello, are you there? Oh, we were there. Ah, do we have you? Okay, we got you somewhere. I know if you're right there, we can find you. Susan, do we have you?
Yes, can you hear
good.
Me?
Oh, good. Yes, I can hear you.
Yay.
Okay, yes.
Hooray, thank you.
Hooray for, you
great
know.
Great to be with you.
Oh, thank you. I would say that it was a heavy-duty technical problem, but the cat walked over the board.
I love it.
And she's looking like
we have an office cat too, so I understand.
Yeah, this one is all over the place. Wait, I'm going to do something. She'd bite me, so I won't throw her over the desk. Anyways, thank you so much for being here. 42 Rules of Employment Engagement. You know, if the best course in learning marketing and how to deal with people is to do it exactly the way you did it. Be out on the street, a commission salesperson, and go for it. That's really where the wisdom comes from, and everything out of the book follows that.
Well, they're very practical lessons of life, that's for certain. I think that I value my street smarts every bit as much as my formal education.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, formal education is great. I mean, there is no way that it's not. But when it comes down to it, after the formal education, to really learn to deal with people and to work with businesses and marketing is getting out there and literally doing it.
Absolutely. That is so, so true.
Years and years ago, I was at a particular radio station, probably 20, 25 years ago. I was working as a sales manager besides doing the show and so on and so forth. And I was doing, you know, training and et cetera. And then I remember there was a young woman who came in and I had stopped doing that. And somebody else came in and was, you know, managing sales. And I started watching the wall with the board of who was, you know, number one, number two for the month. Now, she came in, and within 2.5 months, she was the top salesperson in the entire place. And I walked
up
to her one day, and I said, what are you doing? How are you doing this? She says, I have no idea. And I said, don't stop.
It's so very typical that very often some of the most successful people in life, it's a very unconscious thing for them. And it's just because they're so well suited to it that they just take to it very naturally.
Yes. Now, I want to go to 42 Rules of Employee Engagement. Employee engagement. Those are such operative words, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they absolutely are. And it's certainly something that can be a huge growth and revenue driver for organizations that's most of the time just completely overlooked.
Absolutely. And I believe today that anybody working anywhere, whatever position they're in, they've got to be vested in that company. They don't have to be a profit sharing person, but somehow they have to be vested. They have to know that they are part of it, and they are, you know, and if it wasn't for what they did combined with everybody else, if they weren't there, then there would be something missing. And I think that in and of itself is the key today. In this very uncomfortable economic world that we live in right now, you just can't really forecast. People are going outside. They're cutting prices, and they're doing this and that and whatever with their marketing. But that's not really doing it. It really starts from within. Because if you've got the staff, you've got everybody there, all of a sudden, if they're part of it, they're going to go out and get people themselves, even if they're working the accounting department.
So true. They really have to be personally invested. I think of it as giving the business mind share, exhibiting owner-like behavior, at least coming to work in the on position every day.
Yeah.
What we would think of is being highly engaged, and it really does represent job security, and you really are your greatest personal source of job security yourself. But my book really comes at employee engagement from the perspective of leadership, because leadership, employee engagement really begins and ends with leaders. It's leaders that drive employee engagement every day in their actions and all of the things that they do and do not do.
Sure, it's what they model. And a leader in and of themselves is very involved. I'll give you two quick examples of what we're talking about here, and this is reversed in the other way. I was at the gym about a year or two ago, and I wanted some protein powder. And so I walked up to the counter, and there was the young woman standing there. She's about 18, 20, 22 years old. And I said, "Do you have any protein powder?" She said, "No, we're out." And I said, "Well, what's the website? Can I get it there?" And she said, "No, go over to the," she said, "go to the manufacturer's website." And I said, "Why?" She said, "Because all they'll do here is make a profit." She was, I know, I'm thinking, where do you think your paycheck comes from?
She didn't quite understand that.
No, but the key is she's not involved.
And that really is and part of that, though, represents a challenge to kind of look at it from both perspectives. Yes, she was not involved, but also, some organizations really take great pains. We have here in the state of Pennsylvania, where I live and work, we have something called the Best Places to Work in Pennsylvania. And I've been interviewing a series of CEOs that have been making this list consistently, and one of the CEOs was talking about the great effort that they take in all employee meetings on a monthly basis, and every single month, in addition to bringing people up to date on what's happening in the company, they've been taking the time to help educate people about the company's finances and how to understand the finances, so that when they see these huge orders coming in, they're not just thinking, wow, this company is just rolling in money. They get a sense that there's a few other things that go into the equation. It's not just pure profit. And so this employee that you just mentioned probably really didn't get it, but is that entirely the employee's fault?
No, absolutely not. But it's the point you were making about having them engaged in, and then what I was saying about they're not vested in the company. She really didn't understand. She wasn't trying to be destructive. She just didn't know.
She really didn't know.
Yeah, and I think another great example of that is walk into any given market, and 9 out of 10 times that kid standing behind the counter by the cash register, they're saying hello to you. There's not a smile. They don't even look at you. They don't even know that you're there.
It's very, very true. It's sad. It's unfortunate, and it's very true. And I try to remind myself in every time I have one of those encounters, that I'm dealing with a person that, for the most part, is terribly underpaid. They're terribly underappreciated, and they probably have never had any formal training on customer service. And it's sad that people don't recognize. I know when I was putting myself through college and working as a waitress, and I recognized that learning that I had an opportunity in that kind of a job to learn people skills.
Sure.
And so I saw it as an opportunity to educate myself and to interact with customers. And I would receive job offers. People would, come to my table and say, "Wow, why are you doing this?"
Yeah.
come work for my company. And but it's sad and it's unfortunate that not everyone sees that on their own.
No.
But if they had leaders that encouraged them and could get them to see that, yes, maybe this is just a piece in your path. Maybe you're not going to stay here in this job forever, but this still can be an opportunity for you, and you can still learn.
If I owned a restaurant, and I haven't, and I've never worked in one, but I've been in plenty over the years, this is exactly how we would run the place. I don't think that a waiter or a waitress, they are not waiting tables. They, if the truth were known, are food sellers. And they should be, and if they would walk up to the table and smile and make suggestions and, we've got this and this is a little whatever, the costs, or not the cost, but the profits of the restaurant would end up skyrocketing. And then if you gave those food sellers, quote unquote, if you gave them a commission of everything that you made, a percentage of everything that you made over what your last month's mark was, that they would get some kind of a commission on. I'll tell you what, I bet that income would skyrocket every month.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It absolutely would. You know, people just need to see a bigger picture. They need to see, you know, the opportunity that exists if they have a job that maybe isn't the most exciting job in the world, and not all jobs are. But there's good things that can come from every role that we're in. There's opportunities to learn.
Yes.
It can be a stepping stone to the next place. And if organizations can leverage that, and if leadership can leverage that and help people to see the opportunity that exists within that situation and help, you know, get people excited about leveraging those opportunities themselves, I think we would have higher levels of engagement. Absolutely.
And the other side of that is your rule number 6, which I think is so critically important. Be a low-tech communicator. I don't like trying to converse with anybody who's got plugs in their ears and they're listening to something while they're texting. I, you know, 9 out of 10 times, it embarrasses me every once in a while, because I'll say something to somebody that I don't know, and I don't realize that, you know, these radios or whatever, that they're so small, you can't see that they got their ears plugged up, and you can't see that they're texting, and you're talking, and they're not paying attention to you. And then all of a sudden, you begin to realize that they can't hear you, which is horrible.
Yeah, this is a really, really important rule. And once again, as it relates to leaders, because what's happening is that leaders themselves are hiding behind technology, and they're using technology in ways that they really should be having very personal conversations. They're using technology and hiding behind it for sensitive HR kinds of conversations. For example, one of the first things that hit the news that kind of started to send a message that there was a trend occurring was when Radio Shack laid off 400 employees through email. But we've seen, you know, so many things, so many stories in the news where technology, you know, sensitive communications via technology have gone really, really bad. One example is a company called Carrot, where they were trying to come up with a strategy on how they could lay off 10% of their workforce. And what they did is they put the strategy together in an email, and they meant to send it out to their leadership team, but accidentally they sent it out to their entire workforce.
Oh boy.
And their customers. And the email said, it said that we'll tell our customers that the employee that they've been working with and have this relationship with, that they're going to be replaced by someone who's going to be a better partner for them. So you can imagine, you know, what the customers must have thought, what the employees must have thought. They probably looked at this organization and thought, you know, this is the kind of company that's just going to say anything that they can come up with, you know, and who's going to believe them? You know, I mean, you know when someone's not being truthful and honest
sure.
with you.
I think if that would have happened to me, one word would have came out of my mouth at that point. Oops.
Yeah. But, you know, this is you know, really becoming a trend. In fact, I've done a Google search just today. I did a Google search, and I put in the words fired via text.
Ooh.
And I got 10 million links came up. And I had a great deal of fun looking around the Internet at this whole idea of people being fired via a text message. One website referred to this as the new pink slip. In fact, one young man, I visited one blog where a young man was talking about getting fired via a text message, and he actually did not have a texting plan on his phone, so he was really upset because it cost him 25 cents to get fired.
Unbelievable.
So this is a, you know, just a real trend out there that leaders are not, the whole idea of rule number 6 and being a low-tech communicator is that leaders are taking advantage of technology at times where they need to have face-to-face conversations. So my call to action for leaders who might listen to this interview is for them to get together with their team and to discuss the impact of the kinds of communication modes that they use with their team. And Michael, I don't want to make a mistake here and suggest, you know, that I don't think we need technology to communicate. I mean, certainly there are organizations that have global teams and virtual
sure.
teams, and technology is critical. You know, but there are ways, even with virtual communication, there are ways that we can at least see each other face-to-face today, and it's incredibly affordable, in many cases free.
Sure,
so
Susan,
there's no reason.
Yeah, let me hold you up, because we got about a minute to go before the segment's over. But it's also called time and place and common sense, okay? Now, with that said, I really appreciate you being here. Can we get a website to find you at and get the book?
Absolutely. The book is available through our company website, which is teamapproach.com. It is also available through 42rules.com. So either place. It's also on Amazon and, you know, any place that books are sold.
Wonderful. Hey, Susan Stamm, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michael, for inviting me. It was great to visit with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.